first communicants? Raise your hands. Okay, y'all are the ones who are wearing the fancy dresses and the nice suits. Good, I got it. Okay, raise your hand if you're in first communion and you have a pet. Who has a pet? Like a dog or a cat? Okay, man, almost everyone. This is going to work great. Okay, hands down. What are some things that your dogs or cats or parakeets or whatever you have, hopefully you don't have any snakes. I don't like snakes, right? What do they need? What do you have to do for them? Yeah. Eliza. What do you have to do?
Feed them and take care of them.
Feed them and take care of them. Okay. What else is involved, Shay?
Give them water and make sure they're cool in the summer heat.
Okay. Give them water. Make sure they're cool in the summer heat. What else?
When there's thunderstorms, sometimes you have to let them in because it depends how bad they are.
Oh, because they get scared, right? They're like shaking. My parents have a dog that shakes during the thunderstorms. Yeah. What else, Julie? Go ahead, Julie. Take them on walks, play with them, different things like that, right? Okay, so when I was about 10 years old, my dad had a great idea. He had raised turkeys and chickens for 4-H and FFA projects when he was a kid. And so he said, Will, you guys are going to raise turkeys and chickens for 4-H and FFA projects. So 4-H is like an organization that lets you do all sorts of cool things. And one of those is raising animals. And so we got like not just one chicken or two chickens. We actually had like at one point 300 chickens, right? So basically, my entire life looked like this from about age 10 until age 18. I would get up in the morning earlier than I wanted to, and I would go outside, whether it was raining or freezing or hot or whatever, and I would go and take care of the chickens and the turkeys, right? We had chickens and turkeys, and I would give them food, and I would give them water. And I should be honest here. I also have two little brothers who also did this with me, so it wasn't all bad. Like, we actually fought. I don't know if you guys ever do this, but when there's something to do you ever fight with your brothers and sisters about who has to do it? Oh, man, they're honest. You see, these kids are honest. I'd be like, no, never, absolutely not. Okay, so I would do that every day, and then I would go to school, and then I would come home after school, and guess what I did? I would go back out and take care of the animals. And then I would do my homework and other stuff or whatever. And then before I went to bed, guess what I did? I would go out and take care of the animals. You're right. Yeah, exactly. So taking care of another living being is really challenging, actually, right? The chickens always needed food and water. You know, they just kept eating and kept growing. Now, you think about that. Why was I doing that? Well, yeah. What do you think, Shay? To keep them alive. I like it, right? Yes, but I had an ulterior motive. How many of you guys like chicken tenders? Yeah, right? Okay, so these weren't pets. They were animals that I wanted to flourish, but for a particular purpose. Now, Jesus says in the gospel today that he's the good shepherd. Now, in his time, there would have been a lot of shepherds, and it was a pretty lowly occupation. They had to go out and be with their sheep, and they had to do the same things that I just talked about. They had to make sure they had food. They had to make sure they had water. They had to move them from lower pastures to other pastures, depending upon the weather. They had to protect them from harm, from danger. That's what he's talking about with the wolf, right? The wolf comes. But a shepherd... And this is what's strange about what Jesus says. A shepherd would not give his life for his sheep, right? If I had one of my chickens and the chicken was getting eaten by a wolf, I'm like, you can have it, right? You can have it. It doesn't make sense because my life is much more valuable than a chicken's life. So this is Jesus's point. Jesus is the good shepherd, and that's referring back to the prophets, where God says, I myself will shepherd my people. I myself will shepherd my people. Now, we do a lot of things to take care of our animals or take care of each other, right? But Jesus does something crazy, and I'm gonna try and give you an image of how crazy this is. What if to become or to take care of my turkeys and chickens? What if I had become a turkey? Now I know I'm a turkey, right? I get it. But what if I had become a turkey? Think of how weird that is, right? You can imagine me with some feathers, right? Yeah, all right. Okay, now, that's a strange image, isn't it? It's a really weird thing, and that can't even happen, right? But here's the thing. There's less distance between me and a turkey, all joking aside, than there is between God, the Word, light from light, God from God, true God from true God, and you and me. Why? Because the turkey and I are both creatures, but God is the creator. And what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do, Eliza? He sacrificed himself for us. That's exactly right. But to do that, he had to first be with us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's like saying that I became a turkey in order that my turkeys might flourish. Jesus says, right before the gospel that we heard, he says, the thief comes only to destroy, to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life in abundance. Life in abundance. He doesn't have an ulterior motive like I had with my chickens, right? He doesn't want your good because it helps him in some way. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he loves you. He desires your good for your own sake. See, this is how we know if someone loves us. You ready? There's two things. There's a two-question test that you can do to know if someone loves you. The first question is, do they show up? Do they show up when it matters, right? That's like 90% of the thing. And the second part of it is this. Are they willing to sacrifice for your good? You put those two things together, you know, if you answer yes to both of those questions, that person loves you. Do they show up? And are they willing to sacrifice for you? Jesus does that. He comes and he becomes man for you and for me. He dies on a cross, offering himself so that we can go to the Father, so that we can be sons and daughters of the Father, right? And here's the thing, though. You might be saying, it doesn't matter if you're one of the first communicants or if you're one of the adults here, none of us were alive when Jesus walked the earth, right? Was anyone alive? You don't have to tell me your age, but Jesus still shows up. Where does he show up? He shows up here. At the altar. He comes for you and for me. And he comes to shepherd us, and he comes to offer himself for us, right? The same sacrifice that was on the cross is made present here so that we can participate in it. That's why we come to Mass, friends, week after week. That's why the church tells us that we should be at Mass every week. First communicants, this is your first communion, right? Your first communion. But it shouldn't be your last communion. Next week should be your next one, and the week after that, the next one, and the week after that, the next one, and the week after that, next one. Parents of our first communicants, as the shepherd of this parish, as the father of this parish, I beg you, don't keep your kid away from that sacrifice. Bring them every Sunday to Mass. And don't stay away yourself. Jesus is the shepherd of your soul. He died and he rose again for you. And he makes himself present here in the form of a sacrifice so that you can participate in it. He shows up for you. Will you show up for him?